Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today. More with Allison Van Inenam on gene editing and the FDA in just a moment.
This is Greg Griffith with the Livestock Exchange. Friends, you need a professional working for you when you sell your cattle. That's how you get top dollar. And selling with one of the 8 commissions at the Oklahoma National Stockyards means you will have a pro working hard on your behalf. The Oklahoma National Stockyards, still one of the largest stocker and feeder cattle markets in the world. Bring your cattle and consign with one of our commission firms. And while you're in town, go around the corner and have a great steak or shop for a pair of boots here in Stockyard City. Remember, the Livestock Exchange at the Oklahoma National Stockyards.
I'm standing under a very tall bridge waiting to talk about new Culex wheat herbicide with a satisfied user who's about to bungee jump from the top. Here he comes, sir.
Culex lets you plant the crops you want, when you want, while controlling difficult weeds.
What he's saying is that only Culex wheat herbicide combines strength with flexibility, a powerful new active ingredient that keeps your crop rotation options open. Learn more at flexibleweedcontrol.com or visit your local retailer.
Culex!
Strength and flexibility. Good for bungee jumps, good for wheat growers, bad for interviews.
Animal agriculture is waiting on the Trump administration's Food and Drug Administration and whether or not they're going to move forward with an Obama-era proposed rule that would declare any animal that's the result of gene editing a drug. Dr. Allison Van Inenam says it's crazy.
Yeah, this was a draft guidance from the FDA that came out a couple of days before the current administration took office. And it's not very scientifically defensible because it's not based on product risk. And so we have the potential, for example, to have animals that don't grow horns because of a naturally occurring mutation like Angus not get regulated. And then if we introduce the same DNA sequence to make Holstein animals not grow horns, then they would be regulated as a drug. And really, you know, a polled Holstein isn't a drug. It's just a Holstein that didn't grow horns. You didn't have to burn them off as we do with dairy animals at the moment. And so that's an animal welfare application, I think, that really addresses the problem of dehorning using genetics. And it's not introducing novel DNA, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to regulate that as if it's a new animal drug.
So we're still, at this point, waiting to see what FDA is going to do with this.
Yeah, there was a public comment period that was introduced when that draft guidance came out, and we haven't had a final wording from the FDA yet. And I know that many of my animal breeding colleagues are very concerned about this proposed regulation because it really will block the ability of public sector scientists and small companies to use this technology to introduce useful traits to our breeding programs. And there's a real opportunity cost associated with blocking innovation that's really, I think, isn't often elaborated. If we look at the genetic progress we've made in our dairy cattle, for example, a glass of milk today has about one-third the environmental footprint that it did in the 1950s because of genetic improvements. And so if you block access to breeding innovations, you basically are slowing down the ability of breeders to improve our animals, and that has these large knock-on environmental effects in terms of less efficient agricultural production.
And Dr. Van Inenam says if we use this technology, we've got the ability, for example, to deal with animal disease without having to use antibiotics.
Right. So disease resistance is a huge trait for animal breeders. We lose about 20% of animal protein to disease. And so there has been, for example, pigs that have been produced that are resistant to PRRS. That's the porcine reproductive and respiratory syndrome virus. Researchers at the University of Missouri developed a pig using gene editing where they just basically inactivated the protein that is the target site where the virus gains access to the pigs. And so those pigs are no longer susceptible to that particular virus, and that's about a $600 million problem for the U.S. pig industry. And it does involve sick pigs, dead pigs, and pigs that needed to get treated with antibiotics. And to me, I guess I'm a breeder, but surely genetics is a better approach to solving that problem by developing disease-resistant pigs than not allowing use of this technology and having the pigs continue to get sick and then need to get treated or potentially die. So I think that disease-resistant applications of this technology have very compelling societal benefits, in addition to animal welfare benefits, reduced antibiotic usage, and productivity benefits for the farmer. So it's kind of a win-win from a sustainability standpoint, and I'm concerned that we're not going to have access to it with the current regulatory approach.
Dr. Allison Van Inenam, University of California, Davis, talking about gene editing. And that's your Beef Buzz. Have a good day. I'm Ron Hayes reporting.